for the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017 is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last fire is gone. Like the tiger of old, the storm and the gold for the tiger.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we are the McClellan Trophy winners.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that the winner of the minor premier is called the McClellan Trophy until we won it, but yeah, nice. I think technically we can still lose it, but I think it's very, very hard statistically.
No, because we're 2 games ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry. My bad. So last year,
we're done.
Last
year, I think I have this very dim childhood memory that the McClellan Trophy actually wasn't the minor premier. It was the aggregate of the seniors and the reserves and possibly even the under-19s, like an aggregate of the latter, something like that in the old VFL days. But it's fair to say it was never a very famous trophy to begin with. And
yeah, it's one of those trophies that, for anyone who's been a member of the football club, it's a trophy that feels like that's been given away purely so presentation night can go longer and you can all drink some more.
Yeah, but also I feel like that it's not the type of trophy that anybody's ever drunk out of.
No, that's true. The thing is, winning the minor premier, like, obviously it's completely meaningless if you don't win the flag.
Mm.
It's kind of a big deal. Like, we've only done it 8 times in history. Like it, in a small way, it should be cherished.
Yeah, and I have. Look, the last time we won it was 1982. All I remember of 1982 is vague memories of childhood pain and disappointment.
And the football wasn't great either.
But we did beat them in the rematch at the Commonwealth Games a few months later. And that somehow at the time it meant something to me. I suppose the same way that Adelaide's round 2 win against us somehow enabled them to fool themselves that it meant something.
Well, okay, let's keep segueing off from the game, the unfortunate business of the fact we played football on Friday night. Jared Waite announced his retirement this week. And said in his retirement interview how much he hated Richmond and how his two highlights were the Carlton and North Melbourne game. Now, on one level, and had we not won the flag, that would be infuriating because both those games were humiliating, and Jared Waite's role in them, both of them, was really important. And
well, particularly the North Melbourne one, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. But the thing is, now, since we've won the premiership, in some ways, like, and we're not the only ones who've said this, that almost makes you feel good because you realise that even when we weren't winning everything, we were still really important to everyone else. We were never irrelevant. You know, if the highlight of someone's career is beating you, it means that you're something special.
Yeah, I suppose I hadn't thought of it that way. I was just, you know, you just go into your sort of cocoon of pain and self-loathing after 3 finals losses.
Chaplin tried to jink Nahas in the goal square.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, in some ways, everything changes after a flag, obviously, but there also is it is good to be playing meaningful football. Like, the worst thing
Well, frankly, it was semi-meaningful. It's been semi-meaningful for a couple of weeks as we've been rotating players through our side. But it's good to be king.
It is. I don't think that this is, you know, if you follow American sport, you follow even what Ross Lyon did when the Dockers and the Saints were good. This is, so let's rotate back to the game now.
Yep.
Get on message. You know, we did sort of maybe risk arrest every single person who had a mild niggle, but it was still, you know, we still had the backbone of a very solid side then. Nick, this was an exciting week because guess what Richmond has this week? For the first time since the very start of 2018.
A game against a team that's got a winning streak against us?
Good one. It is the highest rated player. We beat them last year, by the way. The highest rated player in the AFL. So Dusty, on the back of his performance, went past.
Moved back ahead to Danger.
Danger. And, you know, it's remarkable. If you look at his overall rating graph, which is sort of a composite of the last 18 months or so, his still performance now, it's a blip below his absolute peak, but it's still now so much higher than in 2015, 2016. There is just... I mean, he was a great player then, but there's just a transformative effect that's just in his sort of, you know, not in his prime, but he managed the substantial improvement in his output in a time in life where people genuinely don't significantly improve, and he has. And he was all world again. Well, not all world, but he was clearly BOG again on the weekend.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Yeah, he was great. I felt sorry for Matt D, to be quite honest.
But, I mean, he's the bad matchup.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a bad matchup for anyone. I think we worked out a couple of weeks ago that the only way to play against Dusty was to not let the ball get near him.
Yeah.
And like, Essendon didn't do a very good job of that. I frankly haven't seen someone do that bad a job of manning up on Dusty for quite a while.
You thought on D?
Oh, no, just the whole Essendon's team defence against Dusty was pretty sloppy. I mean,
yeah, it was. By the way, sorry, we lost to the Bulldogs in 2017.
We did. I just checked, and yeah, they've... no one else has more than a one-game winning streak... against us, and they've got a four-game winning streak. We haven't beaten them since 2013.
Yeah, and you might recall, Nick, that Jason Castagna deliberate out of bounds in the forward line. That probably didn't cost us the game, but felt like it did at the time.
I know. Well, actually, speaking briefly, not about the Essendon game again, but...
I won't tolerate another segue, Nick.
Well, the... coming out of Friday night's game, there was an article about how Jack Riewoldt, despite leading the AFL in goals, is 25th in the AFL for free kicks inside forward 50.
Yeah, and like to look at our Twitter account when we retweeted it, and Nick, it's actually really nice. Like, I was going to ask you this question. We will eventually talk about the game, but... like, of the tinfoil hat issues that we've banged on about on this podcast, concessions given to GWS.
Yep, spot on.
And to a lesser extent, the Suns. Me more than you, treatment of Anthony Miles.
Yep.
But
me,
thirdly...
Me more than you, the treatment of Liam McBean. you can't always pick the right hill to die on.
The umpire's treatment of Jake King and Jack Riewoldt.
Yep.
And it was so nice to have your prejudices confirmed that the umpires have been systemically biased against Jack, because if you look at the sort of the other key forwards that is comparators, they've all got twice as many free kicks for being in the same situation, and you can see it on the ground. They just, I don't know what Jax has said to them or the relationship, but they discriminate against him. And it's the same thing about the West Coast free kicks. Look at the data. There's a problem.
It's sticking out. It sticks out clearly, and particularly in the current situation where he's getting double-teamed a lot. One person holds him down while the other person jumps at the ball.
Yep. It's just so frustrating.
Mm.
And Jack did lose it a bit on the weekend. It wasn't his finest game.
No. Yeah, there was definite periods where he lost discipline a bit. I'll tell you what, then, related to that from the game on Friday, I did really think that there were definite periods of time where Ray Chamberlain was the only winning forward for Essendon.
Yeah.
There were some pretty soft free kicks, and I'm hoping, you know, that the Monday morning whenever umpires have jobs like normal people, so whenever they do their real view for the weekend, I hope they get pulled up on that, because I'd hate that, you know, that this trend of Tiggy Touchwood free kicks against defenders doesn't carry on in the finals.
Yeah, exactly. So, Nick, overall the game, I mean, to me, it was like the Geelong game where I actually thought, you know, overall we dominated the game, deserved to win, and you can't actually, a lot of the contributing metrics that traditionally you'd look to indicate that don't exist, like, you know, we don't dominate the contested possessions or the disposals or the clearances, but that's just modern Richmond. We just don't, but we still keep winning. But, you know, the second quarter was just ridiculously dominant. Yeah. We just couldn't convert. Thankfully, Caddy sort of relieved the pressure.
I did have a little moment when Caddy went on his little contested marking spree, that it did occur to me that if we could somehow come up with another key forward who could clunk the odd contested mark, kick a few goals and take a turn in the ruck while Nank's resting, that'd be really useful.
Yeah, Nick, I did hear a rumour from a very good source that the handbook on how to integrate a 200-centimetre forward into your forward line was returned to the Richmond Library that was previously on loan, and a permanent copy has been ordered to be delivered to Punt Road. Mm. Nothing more that we can say than that, but it's looking pretty good.
Mm.
But getting back to the game, I wouldn't be at all worried about this, and the sort of the late comeback, you know, stats nerd people like us, you know, this stuff happens, but, you know, we're tired, the game broke down, and they made a late charge, but, you know, statistically, we, you know, we had posted it inside 50s, we always deserved to win.
We got 33 points ahead in the last quarter. I did wonder if there was a bit of easing off going on.
The only fear, and, you know, we didn't have the strongest team. You know, we had some key players out, and, you know, not just Cochin, but I think Prestia's a big out who will play in the finals.
Lambert,
very good point. Who hopefully will be fully fit. The only slight concern, nagging concern, is it was slightly similar game to Geelong.
It did worry me a little bit. The non Dan Rioli small forwards didn't give us that much either, which worried me a little bit. Dan Rioli's in great form, particularly in midfield. But
seven tackles to back up. What was his 25 touches the week before?
The other guys, I suspect because Dagner won't play this week, that, you know, word is that both he and Grimes had knocks on the weekend, and I just think, look, if they're even... there's just no point playing them. Give them rest.
I would just love it if Butts came back, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe... Does the VFL play in the bye?
Yeah, I believe they do, don't they?
Yeah.
It's like the first week of the VFL finals.
Because that'd be ideal. Because, you know, we've seen pretty much everyone's come back in really tip-top shape. But I think, half a VFL game seems to be enough.
Yeah, and because Castagna's only just going. Has had good games, but not overall. Caddy, on the other hand, as you raised, is in support form and has joined the All-Australian by the AFL Rankings Team of the Year.
I know.
Which now is littered with Tigers because it has Edwards, it has Rance, it has Caddy.
Martin.
and it has Martin as well, and Jack as well. So it's,
good times.
The only, and going back to Grimes, like, maybe it's my bias, but like, if I was picking an All Australian, if I was picking a team from all the players in the AFL to play for my life, I'd pick Grimes ahead of Caddy.
Oh yeah, definitely. And yeah, he's our second best defender, but only because our first defender is great. But Grimes would be one of the players that we can least afford to lose, I would have thought. Just that mixture of height, speed, discipline. Yeah, and he's reliable disposing of the ball.
Yeah, just like was magnificent again on the weekend.
Actually, speaking of reliable defenders, I wasn't sure that Ryan Garthwaite lost a one-on-one contest. Maybe one, but it wasn't many.
He did something again, which you pointed out in his last game, that he occasionally punches to trouble.
Yeah.
I like him. He's confident. Like, he gets on the ball and tries to break his tackles, you know, like having... I think that'll probably end badly at some stage, but I like it. I think he's going to wind up being a Dave Astry player who is very conservative in his ball use and plays within himself.
Yeah.
But, like, I like the process he's going through of that, you know, you're not going to know what tackles you can break in the AFL unless you try a couple. I'm liking his aggressive when we've got the ball and not just sort of hanging out the back, hoping not to get noticed. And, as you say, I'm strong in the contest. He's a big boy.
Yeah, and he's going to get bigger. If Grimes does miss, yeah, absolutely no problem with him playing again. And especially as you can sort of rejig things to have Nathan Broad play on. You know, Grimes often plays on the really quick dudes, and Broad can play on them as well. Garthwaite can play on the more marking types, which... to the extent that the Bulldogs have a functioning forward line, they do have a few mid-sized marking targets.
Yeah, but by the way, and if you're just wondering, Grimes is not in the best form, but if you're wondering, if you thought that Cal Hooker's late burst of goals had something to, and shots on goal had something to do with Grimes, if you watch the tape, actually, most of the time it was through broken play and dumbass turnovers and other things. So if you're thinking that... I know there's a thread on social media about the decline of Rance, and I don't think he's playing his absolute peak. The late Hooker run of goals was not actually really Rance's fault.
No, I didn't think so. Actually, I mentioned the small forwards before, but did you enjoy Liam Baker's first goal?
I loved it. TV commentary cut to a crowd shot on his first goal. It's like, they clearly didn't do their research, and then the commentators sort of 10 seconds go, "Ooh, it's his first goal."
Players went nuts.
Yeah, I was happy for him. I think I'm selling his 2018 stock.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Do another preseason and come back. We'll see how he goes. He might take Georgie's spot, but I just don't think he's up to the speed of finals footy yet.
No, and he's... he's small, he gets knocked off the ball a bit, and he's not, like, he's a really good gut runner in his testing, and it doesn't, he's not quite got that translating at AFL level.
Yeah, he seems to disappear late in games.
Yeah, but that, you know, a few more AFL standard pre-seasons, that'll come. Yeah, look, there's something to work with. Yeah, I'm happy for him. I don't think he's close to best 22.
No. But, you know, good on him.
Mm.
Really happy for him kicking his goal. I was really on edge hoping he'd get it.
I know. We've mentioned Garthwaite. Lloyd and Conker also back in the team?
Yeah, I mean, neither of them are... Lloyd's game was reasonably statistically without being brilliant.
Yep. Lovely.
He should,
lovely moment knocking an Essendon player off the ball in the last quarter.
Yeah, and again, finishes strong. He's a clever footballer, Lloyd. I enjoy watching him play. I could also see him dropped without being worried about it. Conger, what did you think?
Look, he was his usual industrious self, if not at the peak of his output. I thought he was fine. His disposal was slightly less disappointing than usual.
Yeah. There were one or two incidents where his teammates helped him out. But there were, you know, you don't even need to, don't watch the game. Just watch the edited highlights. And there's a moment where we're on the break and Hooley gets a much harder shot because Conker misses the link kick to a very open Richmond player. And then there is the commentators literally say, Conker kicks it, ball floats in the air, Essendon intercepts. Oh, here comes Hooker. That was the shot that he set up, the shot that Hooker missed when he tried to kick around the corner. He does do nice things, and he actually played much better than anyone had a reasonable expectation of him returning from injury. So full credit to him, but you know, there are certain aspects to his game that aren't going to change after 100 games.
Mm. Dealing with the big issues, what do you think of Jaden Short's new calf tattoo?
Someone who often watches games with me hates it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of leg tattoos generally. It didn't really bother me either way.
Higgins, how do you think?
I thought he was certainly down on a couple of weeks ago. Very, very much in the midfield with all the other midfielders out, and yeah, only just okay.
Yeah, advanced metrics didn't love his game, didn't hate it. He was sort of below average on the list, which is not great for a midfielder. Decent amount of pressure X, but yeah, not his best game. I wonder whether he's tiring a bit.
Yeah, could be. Like, if you think, look, if you just go off who has been dropped this year of the senior team, Brando, K-Mac and Higgins are the three that have been dropped at varying times of the year. And, honestly, I think if everyone's fit, it's going to come down to one of those three getting dropped again.
Yeah, I do think Higgins is best 22... when he's running above the pitch.
Yeah.
He's a bit flexible, and he's clever, and he can bring something that the others don't. But,
Needs to play better than he did on the
weekend. Yeah, he needs to have a good game against the Bulldogs to hold his spot. I agree. Because things are getting crowded.
I did actually have... I have nothing but respect for Brendan Goddard's career. I am slightly amused at the finger-pointing shadow of himself that he's become this season. It did actually make me slightly sad that, you know, when thinking about all the, you know, the experienced players that we have and that we all deeply love, that, you know, Brendan Goddard aged as well as a footballer possibly can, but, and you know, he's made it to age 34, like he was the oldest, at least 5 years older than any Richmond players out there. But it was also a reminder of mortality, and you know, the end comes for all of us, even the players that we deeply love at the moment.
Yeah, and you know, Essendon Football Club may have thought about, you know, announcing that when Goddard was playing in front of a large number of the faithful at the G, because he played over 100 games for Essendon. It wasn't like he was a complete mercenary. But yeah, it is. He has become a social media villain, marginally unfairly sometimes, I think. But yeah, it is. It's funny thing is, like, if he was a one cup player, he would have gone through a hell of a last 5 years at St Kilda too. So, you know.
Yeah, and I don't blame anyone who've, you know, they've had a decade at a club and they want to try something different, you know. Good on them, but yeah. Interesting. Anyone else from the game?
No, I think I'm done on it. A game I think that that felt like we won easily, and as we said, the only slight worry was there were echoes of the Geelong game, and whether that's just coincidence or whether it's a emerging pattern, I guess we'll find out versus the Bulldogs.
I'm not sure. I suspect there's probably going to be a bit below full strength again, but yeah, I'm hoping for to get the midfield up and firing. A couple of things wanted to mention before we talk about the Bulldogs. Actually, I enjoyed Alex Rance greeting everyone as the team ran out.
Fair enough. And a lovely gesture before the game too.
Sard and Hooley. Yep.
I'd love someone to do... Someone brought this up the other day. Love someone to do a quality analysis of Bashir Hooley's positions during Ramadan and not Ramadan. it's just interesting. I don't think it should be put on the Herald Sun website, though, because it'll become part of the culture wars. But, just as a objective, these are the sort of unique things about Bashir Hooley, the Richmond footballer that we all love, and this is an extra thing he deals with during the year in observance of his faith. It is sort of intellectually interesting.
It's an interesting... I suspect the answer's not quite as interesting as you'd expect. Because I've not looked for that before, but I do remember looking at his stats, and he's always been a really consistent low 20s disposal. He's unusually consistent as a player.
I have no basis for this whatsoever. I just have a vague suspicion that he sometimes drops off slightly at the end of Ramadan.
Yeah, quite possibly. He's certainly running around pretty well for a guy who's missed a lot of footy. Which I'm quite happy about.
Yeah, he is very well. And I must admit, actually sort of introducing... I'm spending time with people who aren't AFL fans. Is that they often like Bashir Hooley as one of the first players on the Richmond team because he's a great story and he's very visually identifiable.
Yep. Him and Nick Vorstone do have a lot of beard game going on.
They do, and they're both very likable players. We digress.
Yeah, we digress. Look, there's a little bit of a... People are talking about the changes to reserve seating next year. Yeah, I haven't really looked into it, but I do... It's an emotional issue for people. They get very used to sitting at the same... around the same people, so yeah.
Look, and I know it's bad. Like, you hear people occasionally, they get... sat next to a doofus, like one of those people who just abuses, like says the same comment 50 times a game or abuses the own team, and that sucks. But, you know, look, I don't know the field details, so I'm not delivering a hard judgment. But, you know, Benny's been talking about and Peggy talking about so much how important community is. Well, you know, this is a big part of the fan experience, and some people have built a community in those seats. So... It just does feel like an unusual misstep from the club, that sort of not understanding the fan engagement feeling.
Yeah, I hope they get it. Sorted out.
Apparently they're having an emergency a fan engagement meeting. But you don't mess with this stuff. Like, okay, you might make a bit of extra money from dividing it up, but you can make that money somehow else.
Yeah, and in a context where we're making money hand over fist.
And these people are people who buy reserve seats for every home game. The club will make plenty of money from them from numerous different ways.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wanted to mention was after what's now 236 episodes and over 255,000 downloads, we got our first mention in the Herald Sun when we were incorrectly quoted as having interviewed Dusty about his favourite restaurants.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm thrilled to be incorrectly quoted.
Like many, many famous footballers, if not famous people, we've been misrepresented in the Herald Sun.
First, so Nick, who on the Richmond team, on the Richmond starting 22, who would you want to not interview before Dusty? Like, so if you're ranking them 1 to 22, would Dusty be 22nd?
I'd love to interview Jack.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm just saying, there's all these players you'd prefer to interview in front of Dusty because we love Dusty as a player, but, you know, he's not an easy interview target.
No. Yeah, I know what you mean. Actually, ex-players, we haven't done a lot of them, but, yeah, I really like chewing the fat with ex-players. I've got a certain perspective.
Yeah, they do. They learn a lot. Anyway.
Actually, speaking of ex-players, I'm enjoying the Bob Murphy's... apparently he's always been a Richmond supporter, but now he's talking about it a lot more and doing Richmond-related media. Gee, I wish we'd drafted him.
Would have been good.
Yeah, would have been good. This current Bulldogs team has a really good midfield. That's by far the nicest thing I can say about them.
Yeah, they're a funny, funny mob, aren't they?
Yep.
Like, they're sort of, you look at their transition post grand final, it's just...
Yeah, there is nothing quite like it.
Like, anyone who says, oh, the Bulldog, well, they snatched a grand final, now they've sort of reverted back to the mean. No, they haven't. They were a top six club the year before, and they were probably... By all reasonable standards,
they won 15 games that year. They were a good team
2 years in a row that had built up to it, and then they fell apart.
Yeah, and they had a number of players in their mid 30s. They had they had players having career years. Like, it was just the age old story of. To win a flag, everything's got to go right.
Anyway, let's cut to the chase. Do you care at all whether we win or lose?
Look, actually, it sounds enormously smug, but I just want to get through the game without any injuries. I don't mind if we rest a few players because, frankly, the battle amongst the fringe players is the most interesting thing.
Yep.
And I think on the MCG... They are really good. They're going to struggle to kick goals. Like,
bring me some Liam Baker action.
Yeah. Billy Gowers is their leading goal kicker on the season. Like, that's not good. Aaron Norton, who's their first round draft pick this year, he's going to be a good key defender one day. That day is still a couple of years away. Yeah, Jackson Trengrove was their main ruckman last weekend. Rebuilding teams are just an unholy patchwork of the good, the bad, and the ugly. They do have two really big-bodied midfielders in Bonton Pedley and Josh Dunkley, who are both going really well, complemented by Jackson McRae and Lockie Hunter, who are both good outside midfielders. So they've got... They've got something to build around there. But yeah, the overall, the quality at either end of the ground is years away.
The only thing I think was slightly in the favour is the old school team not making the 8 last game of the season wanted to get a few bruises on themselves to make them go to Mad Monday feeling like they've had a bit of a win. So, you know, teams can be dangerous in this situation.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to... I think we'll go through the motions at about... 85%. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Dropping to 75% in the last quarter. We've literally got nothing to play for.
Speaking of things to play for, Nick, I have, in an act of incredible hubris that I may pay for, I have already bought my plane tickets to Melbourne for the preliminary final.
Wow. We'd have to lose two games in a row for you not to... For that, yeah, but not to be a worthwhile investment.
there's also probably a 2% chance of us losing the first game and then playing in a away final. So there's it. I've thought this through, but
you've gone early.
Yeah. So the only question is, if it doesn't happen, you know, I'm going to be stomping around Melbourne. That
yeah, there might be a VFL grand final to go to.
That's true, and the, you know, there's lots of good art galleries. And I'm a Melbourne boy. Yeah? I do love it.
Yeah, I know. It is. Yeah. Pre-2017 me would be cursing you for having jinxed us, but again, post-2017 me is much more laid back about that stuff.
Yeah, this a good friend of ours accused us of becoming like Hawthorn supporters.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny because it's partly true.
Yeah.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.